Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. Let's begin with Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help me. We confess our sins. Lord, if we claim to have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. These are the words from 1 John chapter 1. We now turn to our lesson for today from Matthew chapter 20. It is the life of Jesus, his ministry, that provides a model for us. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, Jesus took the 12 aside, and he said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. And we respond, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed." We turn then to our message for today, the epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Dear friends, be honest. What's your first reaction when you would hear these four words? "Because I said so." Well, depending on who says those four words to you, those words probably would make you cringe and quickly back off, right? When we were kids, we would hear those maybe from our parents. When we were teens, we probably heard them from our teachers. And when we are adults, We can hear those words from a wide variety of people. To be honest, those are four words we just don't like really to hear. However, today, those four words do not make us cringe. They don't make us back off. Rather, they make us smile. It is because God says them, and they are such wonderful news. Let's read then the words from Romans chapter 5, and we'll see why these words, four words of God, are so great in our lives. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus?" This is God's word. First of all, then, those words, those four words from God. "Because I said so." And what is God saying to us in the opening verse? He says, "You are justified. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." When the Bible tells us that we have been justified, it assures us that we stand before God in judgment, and he says to us, "Not guilty." Now that statement from God should shock the living daylights out of us, and it should cause us to ask, "What? Me? You have to be kidding. Because I know my record, and you know your record. And together we'll have to agree, it's not a pretty record. It's horrible. I'm as guilty of sin. So how can God, who promises to be fair and just judge, declare me not guilty?" Well, the answer is the cross. Our text said, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die." Every year in sports, you will hear of teams, whether it be basketball, football, or baseball, they trade players. And some of those trades are called blockbuster trades because they involve big-time players. Well, these words of our Lord reveal the biggest blockbuster trade of all. Jesus took my place. He took your place. He took my sin and gave me his perfection. And even more than that, before Jesus died, he took my guilt, your guilt. He took our hell. And why? Well, God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The answer is God's love. Would you be willing to die for someone? Perhaps your kids, your spouse, your parents? Perhaps, but that's about it. I don't think you'd be willing to die for that neighbor you just merely wave at when he drives by. Or how about that smart aleck who just mouthed off to you last week? Or how about maybe even a fellow member of your congregation? Or how about me? In all honesty, the answer would probably be no. We just don't have that kind of love. But God did and does. In his unconditional love, he willingly gave his only son to take our place and die for us. And that's why we can declare not guilty. Because God says we are justified. And there is another thing that God, because God says so, and that is we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, peace is a very elusive thing. You look in our world and it seems as though that when one conflict seems to end, war breaks out somewhere else. And perhaps when the time comes when the current war is over, another one will come. World peace would be nice, but it's kind of like a pie in the sky thinking. More personally, though, we want to feel at peace. But again, that peaceful feeling just doesn't always seem to last. We want to be at peace with the decisions that we make in our lives. A decision regarding maybe a career decision, or a family move, or a relationship, or how to deal with a health issue. But something inside of us keeps nagging at us, questions whether or not we have made the right decision. But more than anything, we want to be sure that God really does love me, that he's not angry with us. But yet how often our conscience just wreaks havoc on our souls. We can't depend on our feelings, because there may be many times we don't feel at peace. But let's listen to what we can depend on. We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God said so, we have peace. We can divide so many in our world into two groups. Those that suck the life out of every day and those who let life suck the day out of them. Those who finish what they start, or those who never start what they intended to finish. And the list can keep going on. But there is one area in which we're all one type of people. We are all sinners. And sin is all about separation. Sin puts a huge wall between God and man. So we hear once more these beautiful words. God demonstrates his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On the cross, Jesus knocked down that wall of sin that separated us from God. And that means we have peace. Even when we don't feel peace. Because the one we offended says we have peace. And a third blessing that God says so is we have hope. It's a fact that life isn't always easy. Our plans don't always turn out the way we want them to. There are some things that we would never want to have part of our lives, but now they are part of our life. How do we handle it? The answer is with hope. We turn back to our scripture. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God has given us hope. Hope that does not disappoint. This is not a, I hope the weather is better tomorrow, or I hope my team wins. Hope in anything earthly is never a sure bet. But the hope that comes with faith, the hope that comes with forgiveness, the hope that comes with the cross is hope you can take to the bank. It's real because it's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Life has a way of knocking us down. Sin has a way of breaking our hearts. Satan has a way of robbing our joy. Yeah, that's true. But life, sin, or Satan can't take away our hope, because God said so. And there is one more thing that God says, and that is he's not angry at us anymore. What fears do you have? Do you have a fear of heights, maybe of meeting people, public speaking? You know what is so interesting about fears is the fact that they're so different among people. I don't mind standing on the edge of a cliff. My wife would rather be covered with ants. I absolutely dread going to any kind of a doctor. My wife has no problem with that. Paul assures us that the greatest fear of all has been removed. We have been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Facing God's righteous anger is something that we couldn't comprehend. It'd be like trying to explain eternity. It would make us shudder. But God is not angry anymore. In love, he took his anger against us out on his son. Because I said so. Usually we hear that in a negative way, but not today. Today we hear those words in a wonderful way. Because God said so, we are justified. We have peace. We have hope. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? My friends, God isn't angry anymore. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And receive with believing hearts then the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless your day. God bless your week.